we know that you can't work your way to salvation. However, we also know that we are saved to walk in good works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. The Bible says a lot of things about good works. We're supposed to be zealous for good works. Titus 2:14. We're supposed to be a people who are devoted to good works. Titus 3:14. Hebrews 10:24 says that we're supposed to provoke one another to love and good works. But perhaps one of the most interesting and intriguing passages in the New Testament about good works we can find in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Paul wrote, "Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works." We recognize from this passage that not only are we to be devoted to good works, not only are we to be zealous for good works, provoking one another to love and to good works, we are to be dressed with good works. I imagine that many here have sat through multiple lessons on modest apparel. What kind of clothes we're supposed to wear, how we're supposed to look, how we're supposed to walk, how we're supposed to behave. I know that I have preached my fair share of those lessons. But one of the things that we have to recognize in the New Testament as it talks about our dress is that the New Testament is actually pretty lean on giving lines. How short is too short? How tight is too tight? How much is too much? The Bible doesn't give us all those kinds of delineations. However, most of my sermons, that's exactly what they've been. Most of my sermons on this topic have been around the idea of trying to convince the hearers to have the same lines that I have. And I admit that I have pulled out all the stops. I have used all the tricks of the trade. I have begged and pleaded and cajoled. I have used sarcasm and guilt and shame. And I recognize that probably shouldn't be doing that. Now, Paul didn't seem to feel the need to use all of those kinds of techniques and manipulations to try to get us to dress in a way. He simply provided us with principles. And this is one of those principles. Dressed with good works. What does that mean? I want you to know that I have no desire to go through your closet. I have no desire to try to figure out anything about all the outfits that you're wearing. But I do want you to know that by the time we're done tonight, that is exactly what I'm going to challenge you to do. I'm going to be asking you to spend some time in your closet this week. And I don't just mean that kind of metaphorically. I mean that pretty literally. I'd like for you to spend some time in your closet this week, the outfits that you have, the shirts, the clothes, the dresses, the skirts, and ask yourself, when I'm wearing this, am I dressed with good works? Because that's the principle that Paul has given us here, that we are to dress as those who profess, we are to dress with good works. That's what we want to talk about for just a few moments this evening. Before we look into that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, you are the amazing, magnificent, majestic, holy, wonderful, awesome, wondrous God. We are in awe and humbled that you allow us to gather in your presence with your children, to lift one another up, to provoke one another, to love and to good works, that we might be a people zealous for and devoted to good works, ready to help in cases of urgent need. And we ask for your special wisdom this evening, as we want to shine the light of your gospel into the community around us, into our workplaces, into our schools, into our homes, into our neighborhoods. And we want to profess godliness even in what we wear and in the good works that we participate in. Help us, Father, to be those kind of Christians that love you and long for you and shine your light to all who are around us. Help us to be dressed with good works. Father, we long for you to be with us, to strengthen us, to hold us up, that we might bring glory and honor to your name, and forgive us when we have fallen short, when we have dressed in our works, when we have dressed in a way that focuses the world on us. Help us, Father, to dress and to work in such a way that they see you and your glory. Help us tonight to have understanding and to be motivated that we might bring glory and honor to you above all things. To you be the glory, Father, not to us. We praise you. We love you. And we thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Dressed with good works. What does that mean? The very first thing that I hope we can recognize here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, is that it highlights that those who are dressed with good works, this is what is appropriate for those who are professing godliness. There are a lot of people that dress for success. Christians learn to dress to profess. We want to profess godliness. When we talk about professing, the word here translated professing, we're told by Bauer, Danker, Art, and Gingrich, that it means to announce or to promise. That's how it is used. I'm announcing something or I'm promising something. They even go on to point out that it can be used to give oneself out as an expert. To say, listen, this is what I am about. This is what I'm good at. This is what my life is about. I am announcing to you that my life is about godliness. What we dress professes something about us. What we wear declares something to the world about us. And what Paul says it's supposed to declare is godliness. The word translated godliness here is a word that literally says God worship. It means piety, reverence, devotion. When we are dressing in the clothes that we wear, we are supposed to be professing through what we wear and what we do that we worship God. In John chapter 4, Jesus talks about worship and he says, the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. We're here tonight declaring and professing that we are worshipers. We're here tonight claiming and proclaiming that we are worshipers of God. What Paul is saying here in 1 Timothy is that the way we dress, not only in this room, but when we go to school and when we go to work and as we're walking through our neighborhood and as we're at the beach and at the swimming pool and at the amusement park, it's supposed to be declaring there the same thing that we're declaring here. That we are worshipers. That we are those who worship in spirit and truth. That we are those who worship God. What does our dress proclaim about us? What does it say about who we worship? Does our dress say that we worship money? Does it say that we worship sexuality? Does it say that we worship food or fame or fashion or style or person or glory? Or does it say that we worship the one, the only, the true, the living God? When Paul says that we are to dress with good works, he's talking about professing that we are God worshipers, pious, devoted, reverent. And he says that those who are professing godliness, what's appropriate for them is to be dressed with good works. What's he talking about when he's talking about good works? We know the scripture says a lot about good works. What does Paul mean by it here? Well, interestingly, in just another chapter or two, Paul is going to come back to talking about the sisters, and he's going to talk about those who are widows and widows indeed. And in that passage, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, we're going to recognize some things that he says about good works. Listen to what he says about good works there in 1 Timothy 5, beginning at verse 9. He says, let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. But refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. Oftentimes when we begin talking in this context about good works, we tend to think that it's talking about kind of patternistic ideas of how we worship and what the church does. Sometimes we think about this idea of, in fact, whenever we talk about the Scripture and say that it equips us for every good work, we immediately start thinking about things like taking the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week and only on the first day of the week, and singing without instruments, and having a, whether or not we'll have a fellowship hall, all those kinds of patternistic ideas. That's what we start thinking about. But Paul here, when he talks about good works, that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is actually in our personal lives, being involved with good works. And here he describes these sisters whose lives have been professing godliness, whose lives have been devoted to good works. And what kind of things does he say? He says they avoid idleness and being busybodies and being gossips. And instead, they raise children and they're hospitable, which is the idea of receiving and hosting and welcoming. They visit the afflicted, which is the idea of going and taking food and care to others. James chapter 1 and verse 27 talks about visiting the orphans and widows in their afflictions. And in Matthew chapter 25, it talks about those who are sick and those who are in prison and those who are struggling and visiting the afflicted. That's the kind of thing that they're doing. They're devoted to these kinds of good works. That's the kind of good works that Paul is talking about. He tells us about so many good works in so many different places. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, let our people devote themselves to good works so as to help in cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. What are the kind of good works that he's talking about? Being helpful in cases of urgent need. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 36, we see one of the sisters who was good at this, who we would say was dressed with good works. Tabitha, also known as Dorcas, in Joppa, a disciple there, which translated means Dorcas, she was full of good works and acts of charity, acts of love, acts of kindness. Those who know this account of Tabitha know that what she was doing was making garments for those who were widows. She was covered up with good works, if you will. She was dressed with good works within her congregation. And we recognize that Paul tells Titus in Titus 2:7, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. This is how Titus was supposed to behave. This is how Titus was supposed to be dressed, if you will. Interestingly, in the verses upcoming to that, it's talking about what Titus is supposed to be teaching the congregation. And there's a list of all kinds of good works. Sober-minded, dignified, self-control, sound in faith, love, and steadfastness. Older women to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. Teaching what is good, to train the young women to love their husbands and children. To be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive. Urge the young men to be self-controlled. And then it goes on to Titus and say, this is the kind of person that you're supposed to be. When people look at you, this is what they're supposed to see. You're supposed to be dressed in good works. And then, and perhaps the most important in our context tonight, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. Put on then, put on. That term there is actually a term for dressing. This is the picture of putting on as clothes. That's the word that's being used here. Put on then, dress yourselves as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. When Paul is talking to us about being dressed in good works, he's talking about being people like this, putting that on as if we are clothed in it, being covered up with it. This is what adorns us. This is what decorates us. And that's exactly what he's talking about there in 1 Timothy chapter 2. As he points out to the sisters, and I think the principle of modest apparel applies to both genders, but we know that he is talking directly to sisters here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. I also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but as with those who are professing godliness with good works. What are the decorations? What are the jewels that we are wearing? No, it's not saying that we can't wear a wedding ring. It's not saying you're not allowed to have earrings or necklaces. But it's pointing out that what decorates us, what beautifies us, what we demonstrate to the world are good works. That's what makes us beautiful. That's what adorns us. That's what decorates us. Those are our jewels. Those are our necklaces, our bracelets, our rings, dressed with good works. And so when we put all that together, and we come back to this idea, we're supposed to dress in a way that professes godliness, adorn ourselves, decorate ourselves in a way that professes godliness, and the way we do that is with good works. Let's try to bring this home with a couple of passages that may show us something about our behavior and our clothing. I can't help but think about what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 when he says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." When we think of this idea of being dressed with good works, surely this idea that Jesus has for us, that we're supposed to let our light shine by our good works so that they may see our Father in heaven and glorify Him. I see this as we think about our behavior and our dress. I see this in two different directions. First, we're supposed to be involved in good works to the extent that when people see us, they see our good works, not our dress. And secondly, we're supposed to dress in such a way that when they see us, they don't see our dress, they see our good works. What light are we shining by the way we dress? Does our dress overshadow any of the good works that we do? What light shines by our dress? Are we shining a light on God and on His glory? Or are we shining a light on ourselves and our sexuality? Are we shining a light on ourselves and our wealth? Are we shining a light on ourselves and our power and our fame and our influence and our fashion and our style? No, of course, this does not mean that we have to make ourselves hideous. This is not saying that we have to dress in such an unfashionable way that folks would laugh and mock. It's not saying that. In fact, I think that itself would be a violation of this. But it is saying that we're supposed to dress in such a way that the one that is glorified is God and not us. And I will point this out. We might ask the question, am I shining the light on God or am I shining the light on my own religiosity? I think about the Pharisees and the way that they would dress and Jesus' rebuke of them in a nearby passage in Matthew 6:16, "When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward." And then he goes on to describe how Christians should act when they're fasting. Not supposed to dress in a way that points out, "Hey, by the way, been fasting. Have you been fasting? I bet you don't fast as much as I fast." So that's what the Pharisees did. They would dress in such a way that looked to their own religiousness. And so, we got to be careful. Who am I shining the light on? Am I shining the light on God or am I shining the light on my religion? I'm supposed to dress in such a way that God is glorified by my dress and by my behavior. Where am I shining the light in the clothes that I'm wearing? Think about what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 21 through 22. "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he'll be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with all those who call on the Lord with a pure heart." Wouldn't dressing with good works sound like cleansing myself from what is dishonorable? Doing what is honorable, living in a way that is honorable, dressing in a way that is honorable, proclaiming the honor of God? Absolutely. What does my dress say? Does my dress say that I'm pursuing faith and love and peace and righteousness? Or does it say that I'm pursuing sensuality? Does it say that I'm pursuing pleasure, selfishness, and self-centeredness? Does it say that I'm pursuing riches and wealth and my own honor? You know, something interesting here. I meant to go back and look at the program to see if I put it in there wrong, but Buddy this morning and this evening said that tonight's lesson was dressed for good work. Dressed for work. Actually, the title is dressed with good work, so I don't know if that was my mistake or his, but either way, it gets to a good point. I know as a kid, it used to drive my dad nuts that he'd have to tell me to go put my shoes on. And I got this lecture I don't know how many times. "Edwin, you need to be ready to work. When I tell you to go do something, I want you dressed for work." Dad, I just woke up 5 minutes ago. I don't care. Now, I was never that bad. But man, I got that lecture all the time. You need to be dressed for work. You need to be ready to work. When it's time to get to work, you need to be ready for it. Well, there really is this idea that when I am dressed with good works, what is it about? It's about being ready for every good work. If I'm not prepared for that, if I'm not dressed for that, if I haven't put that on when it comes time for the good works, I'm not going to be involved in them. I got to cleanse through the blood of Jesus Christ what is dishonorable so that we can pursue what is honorable, so that we can be ready and dressed for good works. That's what it means to be dressed with good works. And then I think about what he says in Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 14. In Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 14, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. We're supposed to be dressed in the armor of light. Dressed as though in the daytime, not as in the night, as if pursuing sin. What do my clothes say about me? What does my dress and my behavior say about me? Does it say that I'm pursuing sensuality and immorality and quarreling and jealousy? Or does it say that I'm pursuing God? And then here's our word again. That word for being dressed, for dressing, for putting on clothes. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the lust of the flesh to gratify its desires. Put on the Lord Jesus. When I'm getting dressed in the morning, I've got to be asking, does this look like I'm putting on Jesus, or does this look like I'm putting off Jesus? Does this look like I'm pursuing the Lord, or does this look like I'm trying to escape the Lord and pursue my own selfishness and sensual desires? Am I dressing with good works, putting on Jesus, and making no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires? Not even preparing the way to gratify those desires in a sinful way. That's what it means to be dressed with good works. And so Paul says to us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Again, I'm going to say to you, I know that Paul there was specifically talking to the sisters. But you know what he had just said? He had just said of the brothers, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger and quarreling. The emphasis there is not on the lifting of hands. That was just understood. That's what people did when they prayed. They lifted hands. The emphasis is on holy hands. What's he saying about the men? They're supposed to be covered up with good works too, otherwise their prayers aren't doing them any good. He's saying the same thing. What adorns us? What decorates us? Being dressed with good works. Are you dressed with good works? I tell you, if this teaches us one thing, it teaches us this. I know a lot of Christians that know how to draw the lines on their hemline and their neckline, but they're not involved in good works. They're not ready for every good work. And if we're people who know exactly what kind of clothes to wear, but we're not there in times of urgent need, we're not dressed with good works. But I tell you what, I know some Christians who are there every time there's a need. But boy, when you look at their clothes, you wouldn't have any idea that they're worshipers of God. We need to be dressed with good works. We need to be shining the light on Jesus so that what people see about us is our work in Him, not the clothes that we're wearing. I want to invite you this week to think about that. challenge you, encourage you. Go through your closet. What are your clothes saying? I tell you what that may mean is you may need to look specifically, what are your clothes saying? All these nice little messages on them. You may need to look at that. What does the hemline say? The neckline say? What does the compression shirt say? What is our dress saying about us? What is it professing? Let's dress to profess. Let's dress to profess God and His worship. I want to encourage you, spend some time in your closet this week. And if it's not professing godliness, throw it out. You don't need it. How are you doing at that? If you'd like to, you can put your notes away now and pull out your songbook. I'm going to be reading from Philippians, but you go ahead and be prepared to sing. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus was dressed with good works. Jesus dressed himself in humanity. He dressed himself as one of us. And he did that so that we could dress ourselves with him. So that we could put him on. And that people could see him through us. Have you put Jesus on? Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Have you surrendered to him? Paul says in Romans 6 that we are baptized into him, baptized into his death. Have you put Christ on in baptism? We want to give you that opportunity tonight to begin your dress in Christ. If you'd like to be in him, dressed with him, covered up with him, so that your sins can be washed away and cleansed. While we're singing this song, we're going to give you an opportunity to come to the front. And either Andrew or I will talk to you about it. And if you want to be a child of God tonight, we'll take you back here and we'll baptize you for the remission of your sins. And what'll happen is you'll take off your sins and put on Jesus. If we can help you with that tonight, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing?